Okay. We spoke about yesterday, Monday, where was Lisha found in the Mishkan, either in the Asiyas of Samimanim or perhaps in the Asiyas of Kemach, I'm sorry, the Isa for the Menachos. And we also mentioned that there's a very basic machokas between Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda as to what is the real focus, the essence of the Malacha of Lisha. According to Rebbe, it is the mixing of the water with the flour, the initial pouring of the water into the flour, where the two items get mixed together. According to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, it's the latter stage. It is the kneading of the flour and the water, where they become one united dough, as opposed to just being joined together. Segoitao explains that really they're arguing about what is the... It's not just a machlokas about which stage is the most important stage vis-a-vis the Malacha of Lisha. It's a machlokas as to what is the conceptual idea behind Lisha. According to Rebbe, it is the mixing of two items, the flour with the water, joining of item A with item B. Whereas according to Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda, it's more the idea of joining all of the flour together to become one. Not necessarily the flour with the water. While a mashka is presumably a necessary component, in order to have Lisha, it has to be flour with a mashka, but the etzem halacha is forming it all into one, not joining item A with item B, but making it all item C. Yeah.
I left just a minute or two before you mentioned where Lisha was in the Mishkan, so maybe you mentioned this when I wasn't there, but I think we said that we had a similar machloket where the source of malachot, we said the machloket is whether we derive malachot from the building of the Mishkan or what was actually used in the Avodah.
Right.
Did we mention that?
Yeah, we tie that.
Rach and Rashi.
Rach and Rashi, yeah.
Sort of said it parenthetically.
We mentioned last time that both opinions are quoted in Shulchan Aruch, Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, because each one has a Stam Mishnah, which might support them, and the Rishonim take different stands on the issue. And in a few places, this is quoted as a Machlokas, and we are generally, are Machmir for the opinion of Rebbe, not to even mix a Mashke with the Kemach, not only to knead it into dough. But beyond the machlokes between Rebbe and Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda, there might be cases which are which they all agree upon. The Gemara on Kufnan Hayamabeis distinguished, or the Gemara in Yud Chesem et Aleph also distinguished between something which is an Eino Bar Gibul versus something which is a Bar Gibul. Perhaps Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yehuda only subscribes to the idea that the major focus in Malach of Lisha is on the kneading of the Mashke and the Kemach into the Isa. That's the focus, not the mixing of the two, is when it does get mixed into a dough-like substance, like flour and water. So then he says that the real malacha happens when it gets mixed into one dough-like substance. However, if it's an eno bar gibul, like barley or ashes, which don't necessarily get mixed into a dough-like, they don't fully become one compound like kemach and mayim, then the etzem halacha could revert back to being mashke with kemach, joining the two items together, not necessarily making it into one united compound. So that seems to be a steer in the sugyo. Sintosis is machmir on that shaila, that if it does not, it's an eno bar gibul, then the nesinas hamashke for everyone would be the Mechayev of Lisha, whereas for the Rambam says, no, even if it's an Eino Bar Gibul, it never will form a dough-like mass. If you mix barley with water, it won't form a dough like it would with flour. Still, the mixing is the focus, not the pouring of the mashke into the kemah.
Eino Bar Gibul for the Rambam is totally
different. That's the discussion, the Magen Mishnah. What if you do Gibul? And
so you just said it's...
I think you are chayv if you do gibul.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't remember. There's a discussion in the Magen Mishnah. He might say even if you do gibul, if you do gibul, you're pater, but I think others disagree with that. My point of view.
So, he says if you do gibul,
it's awesome. That's
Magen
Mishnah.
The Mishnah Brura, we saw Mishnah Brura today, which says that the Rambam, ain't no bar gibul, totally
mater, even no matter what you do with it. Really? We'll have to look back at it.
The objects that are, really not forgiven.
However, you have, what about for the Rambam, you have a problem, because the Rambam holds you'll never chayv just for putting in the water. Tosos, if it's an eino bar gibel, never gets mixed up that well, so then the malacha, according to everybody, reverts back to being putting the water into the kemach, or putting the water into the mursun, the eino bar gibel. But for the Rambam, the putting the water in is never the machayev. So there's a steer in the Rambam, minei ubei. In that halacha in the Rambam says that if a person puts a zera pishtan, a seed of flax, or shumshumin, or sunflower seeds, into the water, you're chayiv miyad. And that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch later in Siman Shin Mem. So, how could the Rambam say that? Even if it's eino bar gibel, you should never be chayiv until you do some sort of mixing, not just by mixing the two items together, not unless I do some sort of kneading, not just by mixing the two together in a bowl. So the Prima Gadim explains, and Egoital explains, but really the Rambam says it himself outright, that since the two items become joined, again, the malacha, the focus of the malacha of the Egoital says this is a this is an example of his pshat, that according to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, what is the mechayev of Lisha? Is not the mixing of item A with item B, but the forming of item C. The fact that it forms a one united compound of Isa. So if that could happen without Gibel, so you dispense with the Gibel. Formed in Isa without Gibel, so you chayev miyad. So the Rambam says that these items naturally form a united substance even without kneading them together. So then I'm chayiv miyad. That's why there's some poskim, or Moshe has a tshuva about the, you know, in the back of Rabbi Eider's book, and it's also found in the Gris Moshe, that if you have an item like instant potatoes, instant mashed potatoes, they come sometimes in flakes, or an instant pudding, or the Shabbos kitchen discusses instant oatmeal, or some instant cereals, that if the minute you pour the water in, I don't have to do any mixing. It just is made in such a way that it forms a united item, like mashed potatoes. Before I had flakes and water, now I have mashed potatoes, and that happens by itself, then you're chayiv according to everyone the minute you put the water in. And that's relevant, that's important, because we're going to discuss certain heterim of how to mix the water in, and how not to mix the water in, and by these items you have no heterim. Yeah.
I mean, not the whole cup of nashtails is going to become much on that, but only the part on top.
I think it depends. Someone else was arguing about. I think it depends. I was asking if you guys were eating oatmeal here in the annex yesterday. Does it happen right away? And different people said different things. So I don't know. You have to know how your mashed potatoes works. But assuming that it happens by itself, I think there's certain types of wheatina or farina, that type of cereal, which will happen by itself. Oatmeal, sometimes you have to mix together.
I mean, but that's like the part that the water actually hits might happen on its own.
What if you let it sit for 5 minutes and maybe penetrate
right,
the bottom?
Right, uh-huh. Right. I don't know. Depends on the mitzius. Depends on the mitzius. There's another common denominator between the two, between Rebbe and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, and then we'll get to the differences. Another common denominator is that even according to Rebbe, it has to be able to form one mass. That's not the focus of the Melacha of Lisha, but if I would mix it, it would form some united substance. Therefore, the Mishnah Berurah and Sivkan Samaches quotes from the Bach that if I have big chunks of vegetables that I'm going to mix with a sauce or some sort of dressing, like potato salad, where the potatoes are big, so then I mix them together, that's not Lisha, according to anybody. Why? Because the two never will mix to form one compound, it's potatoes with sauce. That's not considered to be Lisha. Or if I have salad dressing, I want to put dress a salad on Shabbos. So is that Lisha? Do I have to worry about pouring in a salad dressing on top of a salad? So it's generally assumed that no. We'll get to what type of salad we're talking about. But let's say I have a regular lettuce salad with, you know, bigger type vegetables inside of it. So that would generally not be considered Lisha, even according to Rebbe, where it's just mixing item A and item B. Why not? Nonetheless, it has to be able to form some sort of united substance. And here, these are two distinct items that are being mixed together.
Is there no idea of... can you just give another svar that this is not leading towards Bishlam?
I don't want to go that direction. I don't want to go there.
Okay.
I don't want to. We can talk about it, but I don't think that you don't need to get to that. You don't need to get to that. Because that's always.
We've gotten to that point in many.
Right, ways. Right. But that's always you know, a touchy issue. The question is, how far do you take this idea? The Gemara says, we're not going to necessarily talk about it because it's not so nagei halacha lemaisa, but the Gemara says that one of the shinuyim by Lisha, the major topic by Lisha is how do you do Lisha amuteres? What type of shinoy can I do by Lisha which will make a mutter? So the Gemara has a few examples of shinuyim, odd ways of doing Lisha which make Lisha mutter. So one of the odd ways of doing Lisha is if I do my mixing benachas. I do it slowly, not very intensely. That somehow makes Lisha mutter. That's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Bir Halacha does not like this at all. He says, how does that make Lisha Daraisa Mutter? It's not that much of a shinoi, so I do it in slow motion. So he interprets the whole thing in another way, and it makes the whole item, this whole shinoi, not Nogei Halacha L'maisa. That's why the poskim don't really discuss it. The Chazon Ish has a different pshat in that Gemara that says that doing it slowly and carefully is mutter. Whereas if I do it very intensely, that's usur. Because he said, the Chazon Ish interprets the Gemara. The Gemara there is talking about if I have a vegetable, which I've chopped up, but if I do it slowly, so the vegetable gets mixed with the sauce, so it gets mixed with the mashka that I'm putting in. If I do it very fast, then the vegetable kind of dissolves into like a mass, like a ground up avocado. You know, if you do it slowly, let's say I have pieces of avocado. I do it slowly, the pieces of avocado remain pieces of avocado. If I do it very fast, then it becomes guacamole, you know, it becomes mush. So the Chazon Ish says, if I do it very fast, so then that becomes an isa. If I do it slowly and carefully, they remain pieces of vegetables. And pieces of vegetables, says the Chazon Ish, even if they're cut up a little bit smaller than what we were talking about before, not big potatoes and potato salad, vegetables mixed with mashka never become even a pseudo-united item. Again, the gradations here become murky, but if I, at best, but if I have, let's say, barley mixed with water, that's an eino bar gibul. What does that mean? It never will form a dough like flour and water. But still, that's also, there's Lisha by barley and water. But if I have something which never forms anything, they just become stuck together. It never becomes one with the water at all, with the mashka at all. It's just mashka stuck on water, or I have pieces of potato stuck together because I put mayonnaise there. So that's not Lisha at all. That's two items stuck together. So says the Chazon Ish, even if I have smaller type vegetables that are not mixed up very harshly, they remain pieces of vegetables. Mixed with mashka, that would never be considered one compound. The Mishnah Berurah disagrees. The Mishnah Berurah, this svara is not the Chazon Ish's original svara. The Magen Avraham and the Taz quote that svara from the Yamsha Shlomo, from the Marshal, that if I have cut up vegetables, yirakos, mixed with the mashka, that's never lisha. Because the yirakos never blend in with the mashka to become one item at all. This is Bein the Rebbe Yosef Rebbe Yehuda. Even though Rebbe holds the Malach of Lush is mixing Mashke with Kemach, and these two items do get mixed, it has to be able to form one dough-like mass. And this doesn't form at all. The two remain separate. Nonetheless, the Magen Avraham and the Taz rejected that Svar of the Yamsha. It was a cute Svar, but we don't accept that Halacha L'maisa. And the Mishnah Berurah is Machmir, therefore, if a person wants to make a salad with smaller type vegetables, you have to do it in one of the Drachim HaMutarim, or do it Erev Shabbos. And we'll get to what are the Drachim HaMutarim to do Lisha on Shabbos, but that would be an issue. So let's say I'm making a tzimis with carrots and a sauce, and the carrots are chopped up pretty finely, that would be an issue. Or any other type, similar type salad, that would at least get off the ground in terms of the Malacha of Lisha.
That's tough to buy veggies, now apply egg salad also.
We'll get to it in a second. We'll get to it, and we'll do it at the end, actually.
There are two parts of the Chazon Ish. You said something about mixing slowly.
If you do it slowly, so the vegetables remain distinct items. If I do it very fast, so then my egg is not chunks of egg, maybe, but...
Okay.
But
I mean, this is true, obviously, maybe it's true by tomatoes. I don't know if that's true by lettuce. You can want.
We're going to discuss that by tuna salad or by egg salad, where if I puree it, if I would put it in a blender first, that's clearly one item. But if I have chunks of tuna mixed with mayonnaise, that might not necessarily ever become one item. But again, we're machmir in that
about
child.
Sugar and tea?
No, that does. We'll get to that in a second too.
So the Chazon Ish accepts this Yom Shushlomos idea.
Yeah, you know, he reads that into the Gemara. I'm not sure he would take it all the way, but you know, Chazon Ish, if you know, I'm sure you're familiar with me. Chazon Ish is, he says it, and then he doesn't necessarily make all the follow through conclusions that one would draw from that. But he does say that statement, yeah. That's what he interprets the Gemara. Again, another similarity between Rebbe and Rebbe Yehuda, where one could have perhaps thought that which would be a difference, where there isn't. The Gemara on Kuf Mem Amid Aleph is discussing a chardol, mustard, which was mixed Me'ar of Shabbos. It was mixed in some sort of paste, Me'ar of Shabbos. So the Gemara says you can add water to it on Shabbos. Again, mustard that was mixed into a paste, and now I want to add water to it on Shabbos. The Gemara says that's permissible. The Rishonim calls him Yushalmi that says the exact opposite. If I had mustard mixed Me'ar of Shabbos, you cannot add mashke on Shabbos. So many of the Rishonim who paskin like Rebbe say, how could you ever add mashke on Shabbos? Isn't that the whole malacha of Lisha is adding the mashke? According to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, that's not the malacha. The malacha is the mixing. So it's not as problematic. But according to Rebbe, that's a malacha. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes from those Rishonim who subscribe to Rebbe Shita that they distinguish between our Gemara and Yushalmi, that our Gemara is talking about where you already mixed water from Friday. Now I want to add more water on Shabbos. That is permissible. And to make a rule out of it, we could call that Ein Lisha Akar Lisha. Once Lisha has been done to this item, a further Lisha cannot take place. The Halacha and the Chazon Ish both quote Yushalmi that if it categorically changes, I did something totally different to it, so then that is a new Lisha. That's not a second Lisha, that's a new Lisha, because it's categorically different than the first Lisha. But assuming it is similar to the first Lisha, we would say Ein Lisha Achar Lisha.
So you wouldn't be chayav for adding more water, according to Rebbe.
It would be mutter to add water.
Yeah, it'd be mutter, but for stirring it, you...
Ooh, stirring is a different... Yeah, that might... But might be the same. Uh-huh. If for Rebbe, putting in water is Lisha, stirring is just more of the same. Uh-huh. One could make that case. The Chazon Ish makes that case. But it's not really so nogea because we pass on like Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda for sure. So yeah. Mixing is always awesome. But
so when you said that if we categorically change it,
yeah,
one would be chayav. So that means that if you pour in so much water that
we'll get to it in a second. We will get to it. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from Mataz that if a person wants to soak matzah meal in water, that is a problem of Lisha, and you have to negotiate the issue of Lisha. Aruch HaShulchan asks, well, ain Lisha achar Lisha? So Egloi Tal explains, and we could have said that on our own, you don't need the Egloi Tal to say it, the first Lisha is gone. That's like Bishai. I cook water up very high to 212. Then it cools down. I put it in the freezer, I make ice cubes out of it. Now I want to cook it again on Shabbos. So the first Bishai is gone. Even though we have a concept in Nilgut Bishai, ain Bishai achar Bishai, that's if the first Bishai is around. It's cooked chicken, now it's cooked. But if it's all gone, it disappears, so then yesh bishul achar bishul. So too over here, since the first lisha is gone, I made it into matzah. Then I crumbled up the matzah, made it into kemach. And now I use that kemach to cook again, matzah meal. Dahainu matzah meal. So then the lisha is gone. Now I make a new lisha. You make a matzah bowl out of it, that's a new lisha. And then you would say yesh lisha achar lisha. However, the Chazon Ish adds an important point here, which is what I was trying to get to, that if a person, let's say, wants to soak bread in water, is that also lisha? Unless he wants to soak a ton of bread in his water, in his soup. Some people pile the challah into the soup. So Chazon Ish says, is that Lisha? He didn't stir it. But what about according to Rebbe? Rebbe says the malacha of Lisha is mixing the two. So he says no. And the Chazon Ish says an important idea. He says, Lisha, for everyone, is the joining together of items, coming together. If I dip my challah into the soup, it spreads things apart. That's never Lisha. That's why it's permissible to add more water. Let's say I have, you have some sort of mixture, which is water and some other item. And that makes some sort of combination, some sort of dough-like substance. And now I want to add more water on Shabbos. That's always permissible. You want to add more mixture, that might be a problem, because then it's becoming thicker. That's a newer type of lisha. I'm doing something new, but I'm making it better. But if I add water, that's never sir, because the whole malach of lisha is the joining together of the flour, not the spreading of it further apart. So let's say you have a baby cereal. That's a good example. You made Erev Shabbos and you want to give it to the baby, and then you realize it's too thick, so you can add water on Shabbos. Since water was added before Shabbos, you can continue to add more water and it spreads it further apart. Tzvi Pesach Frank has the same idea in his Har Tzvi. He was asked in one of the, back in the back, by the Tel Harim, he was asked about tablets which dissolve in water. So are those permissible to use on Shabbos? He says yes, because that was already mixed once and I'm just adding water to it, making it kind of dissolve further. I think there's a better reason for that, but we'll get to it in a few minutes. But it's the same idea. He says the same as Chazon Ish, the Malach of Lish is the joining together, not the spreading of things further apart. Along these lines, but a little bit of a jump, Ramosha in the Quarterberry by Eider says that if a person has two separate mixtures, they're each mixed cold tarkum. I have, let's say, cottage cheese he's discussing and cream. And now I want to join those two compounds together. That's mutter. Joining substances is also mutter. Because I'm not mixing the item into one substance. They were already one substance, the mashke with the kemach. I'm just mixing two whole substances together. Ramosha claims that that's permissible. One could have argued. But that's what Ramosha claims. Because the items are already mixed. That's like a lisha achar lisha. One could have said it's categorically different. And here, but what all the arguments one could have said, Ramosha doesn't address them, but he ignores them. No, two separate mixtures. But each one is a mixture of sorts, which is fully mixed. And now I add them together, I'm not joining.
You mix them afterwards together.
Yeah. But each one independently was already a mixture. That kind of, the yisod of the Malach of Lisha is joining things together. Here these items were already joined.
No, but that makes a big difference. Together. Like, let's say you take...
There's a lot of applications.
And so many things are processed today, are already mixtures, mixtures in the factory. So if I mix
we
them
have to
together
discuss
with something
that.
Else, I...
Unless one of the items is not a mixture.
It's only considered mixed with regard to itself. It's not considered mixed with regard
to... I agree. And one could have disagreed, but that's what Ramosha says. And it's generally accepted like that. I don't know how often it comes up, but
very
it's generally...
Very few things that are pure, pure products.
Right, okay. Let's get to a few differences between Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, which is Nogea Lemaisa. The Prima Gadim says, what do I have to mix with the flour? Let's say I don't want to mix water, I mix the honey, or the important mayonnaise with kemach. So the Prima Gadim says any type of mei peros, any type of binding mashke, is also prohibited. And that's quoted in the Mishnah Berurah of Katan Nun. However, he says perhaps, the Prima Gadim says this, perhaps that's only for Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, that the melacha is becoming one item. So whatever makes, whatever binds all the kemach together to become one united compound, that's Lisha. But according to Rebbe, the melacha is pouring the mashke into the kemach when the two become initially joined. So he says, perhaps that's only by water, which initially joins with kemach. But if I dump honey onto kemach, it will be kemach with the honey on top. Maybe that's mutter for Rebbe, or mayonnaise. I would say I have tuna, and I dump mayonnaise on top. So I have tuna and mayonnaise. The two don't join initially. That perhaps would not be a problem. That would not be a problem. That's what the Prima Gadim implies, and that's the way it's generally accepted, that on that initial stage of pouring the two together, if the binding agent is not something which initially joins with the substance, let's say tuna fish with mayonnaise. Mayonnaise is the best example, so then the two don't initially join, there's no iser in joining them. Then you only have to deal with the mixing. Or another example of a possible difference between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi and Rebbe Yehuda could be, what if I have no mashke at all? Let's say I have avocado, and I want to mix avocado, so that might be an issue of tochein. But assuming you did you bypassed the tochein, as it with the head of a fork, or the head of a spoon, the handle of a spoon, bypassed the issue of tochein. Why isn't mixing avocado into guacamole lush? It all became one dough-like substance. So the answer is, there's no mashke. But for Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, maybe I don't need a mashke. The avocado juice is like meperos. That should serve as a mashke.
It's very strange to have him be more machmer than Rebbe.
Okay, so the Chazon Ish says, perhaps I should be chayv under those circumstances. Chazon Ish has, in the same paragraph, starts off, l'chiyuv, that should be yasser. And then he that's a real extreme formulation of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. I don't even need mashke. As long as it all joins into one item, that would be prohibited. But he backs out of that in the end. And the Shvitzes of Shabbos also says, even though one would have thought perhaps that should be usher, it is indeed permissible, assuming it's not tochein, to mix it all into one isa, I guess, since there was no mashke there. Even Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda agrees, you at least need a mashke. He concedes to Rebbe on that note, that I at least have to mix item A with item B to form item C. Can't be that I just converted the same item into a different form.
Yes.
The problem with this is the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa quotes this. Shmir Shabbos is discussing a very common case with children, is if you take challah and mush it all into a ball. Some children do that, and they eat the challah as a ball. So Shmir Shabbos says that's mutter, because there's no mashke. True, I made it into one kind of isa type thing. I guess if you have dough with challah, you have zamek challah. Do that way. But the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa there in the footnote quotes from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that he says it's not so pashut to be mutter, because it all forms one isa. I don't know. I thought it is pashut to be mutter. I don't know. You look in the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa, he quotes from Shlomo Zalman. In the body of the text, he says like the Shvitzes of Shabbos, and then in the bottom of the text, he quotes from Shlomo Zalman. It's not so lo kol kach pashut, I don't understand exactly what he's driving at, because that's basically, it isn't pashut. One could have said yochai for Yosef Rebbe Yehuda, but I think we generally accept you need a mashke there as well. Moving along to the permissible ways of doing lisha, the Gemara. This is a very confusing and detailed issue, and a lot of the details, and we could talk about, but we're going to kind of gloss over the ones that aren't nogea lemaisa so much. The Gemara has a few shinuyim, few odd ways of doing lisha, which make lisha permissible. However, if you collect all these Gemaras, there's basically two: the Gemara Kuf Mem by the Chardo, by the mustard, and the Gemara which we mentioned yesterday on Monday by the Morson, by the barley. So both of these cases, the Rambam quotes them, and he says that these are things which are eino bar gibul. It's eino bar gibul. So the whole thing is only the Rabbanon to begin with. As Yosef mentioned in the Mishnah, even if you will stir it, it's only the Rabbanon. So then a shinoi works. Okay, so the whole list is only the Rabbanon, so shinoi works. However, the Mishnah Brura in Simin Shin Chav Dawud, this is the other place where Lisha comes up, Sivkat and Zion, quotes that the opinion of the Rambam is that all of these shinuyim only work on something which is also midrabanan. But what about on real kemach and water? No, no way. Then he says that no, we don't accept, even though the Rambam has that opinion, that we generally we're machmir for tosos, that an eino bar gibo is chai of mishum lisha. And therefore that carries with it the kula, that we can assume that all of these shinuyim would also work even dealing with a real isa, not just one of these eino bar gibo. So all of these shinuyim are in play, so to speak. Even though the Rambam kind of marginalizes them, we generally assume they are in play. But then you're left with the larger issue of how can a shinoy be mater and issa d'oraisa. Generally, we assume that a shinoy or kelach or yad is also at least midrabanan. How did we pull that trick that it became mutter midoraisa, mutter even midrabanan? So this issue is a kind of pushed off to another area. Rashi, this is, I don't want to go so off topic, but just to mention it because it's important in terms of other melachos as well. Rashi on Shabbos in Parakira on Lamed Tesemet Aleph discusses Bishul Bechama. The Gemara says it's mutter to cook in the sun. If I could fry an egg in the sun without using, you know, a metal plate or something that got heated by the sun, that would be mutter. Permissible to cook in the sun. And Rashi says, why? Ein derech bishul bekach. It's not the normal way of cooking. The Goytal in Melechas Ofer asks, nu, ein derech bishul bekach, still it should be yasim midrabanan. How did it become heter gomer? The Goytal says a rule. He says that there are two types of kalach yad. There's one type of kalach yad which is miyuchat to hilchos Shabbos, and there's another type of kalach yad which applies in kol Torah kula. The one that's in hilchos Shabbos is also midrabanan. The one that applies, it's a global kol Torah kula kalach yad, that's heter gomer. Why should there be a kalach yad in kol Torah kula? So that's based on an idea he assumes like this, but Rabbi Chanan Wasserman in his Kovet Shirim spells it out further, that the Torah discusses the normal ways of doing things. If I do, all of the Dinei HaTorah are addressing normal circumstances. I don't have time to get into examples, but there are a few good examples where something is just abnormal, and that's not what the Torah is talking about. Okay. Say Goytal says, "What? How do I know if I'm dealing with something which is lochatilcha Shabbos, or I'm dealing with something which is this global kind of kalach yad, which is mutter lagamrei?" So he says, if it accomplishes the same task, just I do it in a different way. It's a different action, but the same result. That's usr b'kol Torah kula, and it's only mutter and hilchos Shabbos because melachas machshev is usr Torah. I have to do it in the normal way. So if I do it kelach yad, but I accomplish the same task, that's also midrabanan.
Could you repeat the definition?
If I just do it in a different way, but I get the same thing. Let's say I would pour macaroni into, I have a pot of burning water, and I pour macaroni in. I cook the macaroni on Shabbos, so I pour it in with my left hand, or I pour it in with my toes. Yeah, but the macaroni got cooked the same. That's kelach yad.
That's kelach yad. Specifically
Shabbos. Abishal, kalach yad. The macaroni got cooked the same. So that's kalach yad of Shabbos. The same action, the same result with a different action. Kalach yad of kol Torah kula is if it's a different result. Getting cooked in the sun will never taste the same as getting cooked on a frying pan by fire. Let's say you cook eggs in a microwave, will not taste the same as cooking them in a frying pan. So that is heter, that is kalach yad b'kol Torah kula, and that's heter gomer. So what you will, anyway, those are the two types of kalach yad. So all of these shinuyim, which we're going to mention by Elisha, one will have to say, are of this second tier of kalach yad. They're not just a different way of doing things, the product will be different. Tuna fish made in the way which we're going to discuss will never taste the same as tuna, real tuna fish, you know, from the bagel store. They will not taste the same. That's my interpretation of all of these shinuyim. Yeah.
You could also say, like, the texture of the food.
Yeah, I think we could be more understanding. But again, we're reconstructing. I'm not making up these shinuyim, but, you know, I'm not selling you that these shinuyim are so radically different that therefore we have to be mad to them. The Gemara says they're mutter, so we're trying to, working backwards and trying to understand why these should be heter as opposed to those which are usser. I think this is one possibility. So let's move to the shinuyim and the permissible ways of doing lishan Shabbos. So again, just to review for a second, we have two issues to contend with. We have Rebbe, which were machmer for the chachilah. We're machmer for Rebbe, that you can't even mix the two. So I'm going to, if I want to do that in a permissible way, I have to have a shinoi in the mix, in the initial combining of the two items. That's one. We have to deal with that. A. B is once they're mixed, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda holds its also to knead them. So I have to deal with that too. So we have to deal with both issues. Just to repeat something we said last time, the Shaar HaTzion says, if I could never have made this item on Shabbos, the Mishnah Berurah is discussing making his salads, which he believes is a problem because they're cut up more finely, and that would be a problem of Lisha. So he says, yeah, but what if the salad would have gone bad if I had made it yesterday? Because cut up vegetables rot faster than, you know, whole vegetables. I couldn't have made it yesterday. So there the Shaar HaTzion says we could forego on Rebbe. And the initial mixing of the two, you don't have to have a shinoi. The real kneading, that always exists. But the idea that we're machmir for Rebbe, we could dispense with b'shas adchak. Or let's say a person has no other food. He forgot to make this item before Shabbos. He just has no other food. So again, you could do the initial mixing and then knead in an abnormal way. One point to think about is the Orcha Shabbos raises the point that the Mishnah Berurah says, I couldn't have made it yesterday because it would have rotted. Now we have refrigerators. So perhaps that whole notion goes out the window. I'm sympathetic to that. Why are they all trying to... Why is Rebbe's problem something we need to dispense with more readily than the problem of the mixing? Meaning, why is that more of a hurdle? And the reason is because the Gemara says there is only one permissible way of mixing two items on Shabbos initially. The Gemara has one shinoi, which it quotes for Rebbe. That shinoi is, if it's a blila raka, a more flowing, not as thick blila, a batter which is raka, thin, and I mix them out of order. You need both. It has to be a blila raka, and it has to be mixed out of order. Let's say I normally would put the mashke in first, then add the flour. Here, I put the flour in first, then add the mashke. But it also must be a blila raka. What is a blila raka? So the Chazon Ish says it has to pour. Not like a drink. A drink, if it's a liquid, the Chazon Ish says that's not lisha at all. So that's the case. Let's say I put sugar into a drink. Chazon Ish says that's not lisha. Or making a salad dressing.
What has to pour? The mixture?
If the mixture is a drink, it looks like a liquid. If Axe looks like a liquid, that's not lisha at all. Like someone asked me more recently, what if I wanted to put one of their ingredients in their salad dressing was mayonnaise? But they diluted the mayonnaise so much that you couldn't even tell there was mayonnaise there. It has no texture like mayonnaise. It looks like a regular salad dressing, like oil and vinegar. So that's not lisha. Or powdered drink. You want to make petel. That's not lisha.
It's somewhat viscous.
But if it's one item with a body, but it pours like ketchup. Or like applesauce, which has a body and a texture to it. But it pours, you know, like a liquid soap also. That type of soap is not food, but I'm saying something like that. Texture, that is a blila raka. A blila ava doesn't pour, you know, some bread dough. You can turn it upside down, you can do anything you want with it. It's not going to pour. That's a blila ava. So it's only permissible to make the initial mixing of the two items, if it is a blila raka, and if you do it in a not normal way. Again, the Chazon Ish points out, if you want to make your blila raka, you better pour it in fast. If I pour it in a little bit, now I have a blila ava, that was usher. So you got to dump it all in all at once. So that's first, component number one, blila raka. Why is blila raka? Because blila raka is only usher midrabanan. The Shvisas HaShabbos and the Chazon Ish say, real lisha d'oraisa is a blila ava. So already I've knocked it down to a d'rabbanan that it's only a blila raka. And then I have my 1-2 punch. The second idea is I do it out of order. What's called out of order? So if there's an obvious order to the way things are normally done, you know, you read the instructions. It says do this, do this, do this, do that. Okay. So we know I do it out of order. I do 3-2-1. But the Mishnah Berurah and the Taz will discuss a case where I don't know what the order is. Some people do it like this, some people do it like that. What is the order? I don't know if it depends on you. It doesn't depend on you. So the Mishnah Brura quotes from the Trumas Hadeshah and another poskim that when you don't know which way it's normally done, you do what it says in the Gemara. And the Gemara says you put the Ochel first, Mashka second. But the Taz and the Chazon Ish are machmir on that Shiloh, that if I don't know which way it goes, can't do it. Nothing to be done. So I think we're megal on that. B'shas Adchak. Chachilah is best to be machmir, but Mishnah Berurah and other poskim go with that. That if you don't know which way to go, Ochel then Mashka. The reason this comes up, the reason why this is such a big issue, is because when a person wants to make tuna fish or egg salad on Shabbos, so those are Blila Ava. So you can't even mix the two. Let's say I'm making tuna fish with oil. You can't even mix them. Because it's already Blila Ava. Even if I do it in the non-normal way, it's a Blila Ava. There's nothing you can do. So that's why if a person didn't make it before Shabbos, you have to revert to the idea that perhaps Rebbe's whole idea of mixing the two initially is only just a Chumrah. So if it's only a Chumrah, even if it's the whole idea of mixing the two, so if, even if it's going to be a Blila Ava, if you do it out of order, we would allow that. But that's B'shas Adchak. L'chachil, a person shouldn't leave it like that. L'chachil, we're machmir for Rebbe. You can't even initially mix the two. We haven't even begun to talk about kneading. You can't even initially mix the two because it's a Blila Ava. It's not a Blila Raka. Yeah.
In the Shat Adchak, I'm a little unclear on what's happening. Is this that we are still passing in like Rebbe, and we're saying that Rebbe himself,
we throw out Rebbe. We pass like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. Some Rishonim claim we pass like Rebbe, so we're machmir for them.
Okay.
So, but the Shaar Tzion says b'shas adchak, you know, for kota, and so you can't make it at the end of the time, or you forgot to make it.
Okay.
This comes up also on Pesach. Pesach shechalios b'shabbes. Person forgot to pour his wine into his charoses. Some people put orange juice, wine, whatever you put in your charoses. You can't do it now. How can you even mix the two? So I'll do it in a non-normal way. I'll put the wine in, then dump the charoses on top. You can't, because it's a Blila Ava. You can't mix the two. So if you have no other charoses, maybe one can make the case that we could forego on Rebbe, because that's only a Chumrah. But that is the one issue the Mishnah Berurah discusses, that issue of the charoses. The best way of negotiating mixing the two is to use mayonnaise, because we said mayonnaise doesn't initially mix at all. So to dump mayonnaise on top of tuna fish or on top of egg salad, that's always mutter, because they don't mix initially. That was the prima gaudium. So again, the best way is to use the mayonnaise, which don't mix at all initially.
The
charoses, I wouldn't put mayonnaise in your charoses. Now that I've mixed the two, so how do I go about, now that the two have been combined, what about mixing the two? So the Gemara says that if I do it ma'at ma'at, slowly, that's permissible. Piece by piece, slowly, I take it out, I do it piece by piece. So the Bir Halacha does not like this at all. And he quotes in Nishmas Adam, on the bottom of the Chai Adam, what happened to Chatzi Shir Asa Min HaTorah? So what I did a little. Okay, Chatzi Shir, it's all Asa Min HaTorah. What's going on? So the Bir Halacha throws it out. Goodbye. It's a different shot. Means something else. Even the Chazon Ish who accepts it also marginalizes it. The Chazon Ish then becomes very philosophical. He says, we don't understand any of these shinuyim. You can only apply it where the Gemara applied it to those substances. Nothing else. Okay? We got the idea. So this setter, this one is difficult to work with. But it is interesting that Goytal revives it a little bit, and that Goytal says that no, there's no Isser of Chatzi Shir here. Chatzi Shir is when I did the malacha just half. Here, the malacha is the joining of the two items. If I haven't joined them, there's no Isser of Chatzi Shir. It's a famous discussion. We don't have time to get into it now, but you should be aware, we should all be aware, that the assumption here is that there's an Isser Chatzi Shir on Shabbos. Rashi says that, on Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, that if a person cooks half a grogeres, I cook half the shir. That's also, there's an Isser of Chatzi Shir on Shabbos. But Rashi himself says in other areas, that let's say I do half a malacha, let's say Hotzah on Shabbos. Hotzah on Shabbos involves picking up and putting down. What if all I did was pick up? Rashi says, that's Mutter, Midoraisa. Why not Chatzi Shir? Or let's say I cook something less than yatzo lettuce bow. Why isn't that chatzi shir? So the Prima Gadim in his Psicha Tilcha Shabbos evokes a famous concept that there's a difference between a chatzi shir and a chatzi melacha. Chatzi shir is if I did the melacha, just half the shir. Chatzi melacha is I didn't even do the melacha. Because I only went halfway. I cooked it till it's 65. I cooked it was room temperature, and I cooked it up to 99 degrees. That's not bishul.
Is this still the egoital things?
This is what the egoital means.
Okay.
I'm stooping it into the egoital, but this is what I think the egoital means. Lisha that finds the egoital is mixing together. If I haven't mixed together a full shear, that's nothing. That's a garnished. That's like cooking to less than yatzo lettuce bowl. That's just nothing. Blow hot air on it. That's not bishul. It's not a chatzi shir either. Anyway, this shinui of ma'at ma'at, it goes out the window. The major two shinuyim, which are mentioned by the poskim, which is quoted by the Gemara, is if I do shesi ve'erev, crisscross. And again, if I did it in a permissible way, let's say I put mayonnaise on top of tuna fish, which is a blila ava. Nonetheless, I can mix it crisscross. The blila ava, blila raka distinction is primarily limited to the initial mixing. Once it's mixed, or I mix them together before Shabbos, but I haven't really fully kneaded it, you know, I haven't fully done my full series of mixings. So then if I do it shesi ve'erev, that's permissible. The Bir Halacha says even if I do it many times, it doesn't just mean once forward, once horizontal, which is one could have thought that. Rashi implies like that. It means few times. However, the Chazon Ish or Moshe have a chumra over here that you should pick it up. Forward, pick it up. Put it down, sideways. Pick it up, forward. Because otherwise, says the Chazon Ish, you're going to go like this, come around, this way, come around, and I've just gone in circles. He said, it's a cute trick. That's not good. You have to pick it up each time. And Ramosha buys it. Rabbi Eider showed that to Ramosha, and he likes it. Says if you're very careful not to do that, retrace your steps, then you know, but whatever. That's the idea. The other head, which is mentioned in the Gemara, which is very nogei lamai, says if I do it biyad, with my hand. I mix it with my hands. Obviously, if we're dealing with bread dough, where everyone mixes with their hands, that's not a shinoi. But if we're talking about tuna fish, where most people do not mix it with their hand, that would be permissible. Okay, so you'll say, I'll make my tuna fish on Shabbos with my glove, with my... I'll go to the store, buy my latex gloves. So Chazon Ish says, no, that's kli. A glove is already a kli. It has to be bare hands. So, you know, it depends on your orientation, how comfortable you are using your bare hands on the food you're going to serve at your Shabbos table. So I'd just like to let's plug all these things into one practical test case. The applications of this are of all of these principles are have no bounds. But the case which we've been dealing with a few times, which is a very popular case, is the idea of making tuna fish on Shabbos. So again, when a person, let's say, has this can of tuna fish and he has his mayonnaise, how does he negotiate the situation? So if he's making a blila ava, so first thing you have to deal with is how can I mix these two items. So if you're making tuna fish with oil, which in some parts of the world is a common thing, so you're going to have a problem. Because you can never mix the oil with the tuna fish. It's a blila ava. The only permissible way of mixing two items is if it's a blila raka and I do it in the opposite order. Here, it's a blila ava. Nothing to discuss. So again, that's my shal shudis. So then I have no other food for shal shudis. So it's a shasat chak. And we could forget about Rebbe and mixing the two items will allow one to do in a not normal way. Still, you should do it in a not normal way, but you can mix the two items even though it's a blila ava, but in an ideal situation, you shouldn't do that. But if I have mayonnaise, we said mayonnaise never blends with the item, it just sits on top, so the initial mixing is never a problem. So if I'm making mayonnaise with tuna fish, I could put the two on top. I could plop them together. What about mixing? So I should do it shesi ve'erev. Once forward, once sideways, picking it up each time. Same thing with egg salad. The Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa, though, quotes that there is a widespread minhag to make egg salad or tuna fish like you do during the week. No shinuyim. He's quoting the body of the text from Shmir Shabbos, Nahagu, to not use any shinuyim. Why nagu? How can you do that? L'chore it's aser. So Shmir Shabbos quotes from Shlomo Zalman that this is based on two snifim lahakel. Number one is the Yamsha Shlomo. The two items never join together. It's like vegetables and dressing. They never really join together, become one compound. The two are stuck together, but it doesn't join all together, become one Isa. So too by tuna fish. It doesn't all become one item. It's pieces of tuna fish with mayonnaise. Pieces of egg salad. Pieces of egg with mayonnaise. The other sniff lahakel is something we didn't mention. It's one of the Bi'ur Halacha's ways of marginalizing one of their teirim in the Gemara. The Gemara says you could do it piece by piece, little by little. So he says, chatzi shir asim in haTorah. She says, no, that Gemara was only talking about items which are cooked. It was talking about cooked wheat. Something which is cooked is never lisha. Like I want to mix sauce with meat. The meat is cooked already. So we call that fixing a dish, tikkun ochel.
That's true by next salad.
Oh. So the Bi'ur Halacha kind of, he doesn't give you any sources for that idea, but there are other sources for that idea, that if something is cooked already, there might be no lisha, which might be based on that idea that, we're out of order. Afia is after lisha, and here I cooked it already, so there's no lisha once it's cooked. I don't think it's such a conceptual concept, but. So the Shmir Shabbos Kalkatza throws that in too. The tuna fish is cooked, the eggs are cooked. So perhaps since it's cooked already, even though we wouldn't necessarily rely on that alone, you could put those two together to make egg salad or tuna fish l'chadchila on Shabbos. So there is such a minig out there. If someone sees someone else doing this, and he doesn't think that the party will be so happy about doing it a different way, you could use your own judgment on that. One other sniff l'hakel, which is, this is like what should have been, is what happened to the heto altar. By all of the Sidur de Pas, the Rashba, who was the champion of La'altar, he kept throwing it in on every malacha, Dash, Tochein. So the Rashba, which is quoted by the Ramah, he finally surfaces in the Ramah in Hilchos Tochein, that you could do Tochein La'altar, says by Lush too you could do Lisha La'altar. And the Har Tzvi, in his Borer, he goes through all the malachas where La'altar applies, throws in Lisha too. Why? Because the Chazon Ish had his idea. When do we say La'altar is mutter? As if by definition, by eating, I have to do this melacha. Every time I eat, I do tochein. So how could it be tochein is not mutter La'altar? So every time I eat, I have to do lush.
In your mouth?
In your mouth. Eating is not us on Shabbos. Why isn't it lush? I'm mixing saliva with the food particles. Isn't that lush? So eating is mutter. So once eating is mutter, I could push the bar back a little bit and say even La'altar is mutter, even Samach L'Suda is mutter.
If you want to start using the human body,
that was the Chazon Ish's definition, because the Taz applied, the Ramah applied La'altar to eating a cookie with words, Mochik La'altar, and the Chazon Ish says no, because eating doesn't involve Mechika. So if you're going to go with the definition of the Chazon Ish, Lisha should be included. So it should have been. Nonetheless, the Shmir Shabbos and the Mishnah Berurah both say, Shmir Shabbos is a little bit more unclear about this, but he says explicitly, there's no heter of the altar by Lisha. But they reject it. But the Rashba, who's the whole source of the altar by Tochen, which is quoted by the Ramah, says Lisha too. So I think as a sniff lahakel, we could throw that into the salad, no pun. Throw that into the tuna fish also. That is, if it's made, it's our shell should. It's the altar too. And that's another sniff lahakel. Anyway, but those are the major two shinuyim that a person has by the mixing is shesi ve'erev or biyad. Some substances you could mix biyad and wouldn't be so minanimos. Okay, Rabbi Zayn. Shkayach.